Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Ever. Thank you for joining me. Happy New Year, at least almost. We're almost there. We're like on the just the brink of it here. And for some of you, this past year has been good, happy, sad. You've gone through a lot. It's maybe disappointing and you're ready for a new year. You're ready for a fresh start and it is time. And I wanted to actually give you something that you could take with you in the new year that is tangible, that you can do, that is a spiritual weapon that you could protect your family with, something you could do on a daily basis, and that is going to help you become spiritually strong. And that's what Father John Calloway and I are going to be talking today on this show. And just keep in mind, don't take a lot of the yuck, if possible, with you into this new year. It is important and it is a choice. And each of us can make a decision, one, to go to confession today, to just leave everything and all of it, that yuck that maybe you have, or hardships or anger or bitterness or just whatever's going on, or maybe to lay down an addiction in front of Jesus and just say, this has been my problem. This is my addiction. This is what's going on. Jesus, help me. And we have a choice to show up to our fight and either be overcome by certain situations in our life and let the circumstances control us, or we can get strong. We can just face it. We can own it. We can heal it with Jesus, and we could start off fresh. And even though you may feel completely weak right now and beat down and things may be difficult and you don't know what the future holds, well, God knows what the future holds and God is in charge. And no matter how bad things may seem around us, God is in charge and he is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. He'll take care of our families, but we have to show up and we can't give up no matter what. And to go into this new year strong and not to let the evil one beat us down in our own ways in our life. So I want to encourage you, no matter what is going on, one, know you're not alone. And two, it doesn't have to stay the way it is. Like, things can change. Things can get better. God's grace abounds, God's mercy, God's love. And I just wanted to give you that encouragement to not take whatever maybe you're holding on to into the new year. The course of your entire life can change if you just give God the opportunity to change it. And that's the thing. Sometimes we hold on to things. And I've held on to things. I'm holding on to things. I know certain things that I need to deal with, that I need to just face, and it is what it is, and then just go from there. But I know God's with me, and I know God will help me, because I'm asking for that help and I'm going. And just stay right with God, because there's nothing more important in anyone's life than being right with God. So without further ado, we are going to get right into it with Father Don Calloway. And we are going to have a quick minute here with our friend Debbie Cowden. So stay tuned.
Merry Christmas. Yes, it's still Christmas. Debbie Cowden here. And when my husband Dave and I wrote the prayer book for tired parents, we wanted to empower fellow parents to bring our Catholic faith to life for our children. And thankfully, that's not hard to do during the Christmas season. EWTN foundress Mother Angelica encouraged viewers to have what she called holy reminders of God's love throughout their homes. So please keep your Christmas trees up at least through Epiphany, even longer if you can. Adore the infant Jesus in your nativity scene. Continue singing Christmas hymns together. Keep wishing your children a Merry Christmas and reminding them that Jesus came to earth as a little baby to save us from our sins. Through our five senses, the faith really does come alive, and it shows our kids that it really matters. For more practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven, get the Prayer Book for Tired Parents at EWTNRC.com. Back to you, Crystalina.
All Okay, Father, can we start out in a prayer, please? And can you, would you mind leading it, please?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour down your graces and mercies upon this time, especially our conversation. Make it fruitful for ourselves and for all who will listen to it, that their hearts would be touched to want to come and to know and love you more, especially through the powerful intercession of Saint Joseph. And as always, we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Calloway. Thank you so much for being here on Women Made New. What an honor.
Yes. Oh, my friend, I am so excited to be with you because I've known about you and Jason for a long time. And I'm like, when am I going to meet these people?
No, I've never met you in person. So that's very kind of you. Thank you so much. So I am wanting to talk about your book, and I'm sure most people know, about the consecration to Saint Joseph, the wonders of our spiritual father. And this book you came out with is absolutely phenomenal. And this is not something new. This is something you came out with a while ago. And I remember when it first came out, I just couldn't wait to get my hands on it, you know, and get our family in our little chapel to do this. So please explain to people what this is all about.
Yeah, well, I've been a priest for 18 years now. And about 4 years ago, I just had people coming up to me on a daily basis saying, Father, my family's in crisis. Like, my marriage is a wreck. My children hate us. They hate the church and they got weird ideas and I don't know what to do. And I was hearing this so frequently that I took it all to prayer because I was like, Lord, what do I do here? And I just really felt inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring them to Saint Joseph because I was hearing things like, you know, like half of marriages today end in divorce. 1/4 of all children don't grow up with a father in the home and this kind of stuff. And I thought, man, we could really use a good father. And it was just like a no-brainer that, well, you know, St. Joseph is like the best one. I mean, he was the stand-in for God the Father. And I mean, you're not going to get a more stellar figure than that. So I was like, all right, well, then what do I do? And so that's when I thought that a book like this already existed or something, but I researched around the world and it didn't. And that's when I feel I got the commission from the Holy Spirit to do the research to put it together. And that took 3 years. It's basically modeled off of St. Louis de Montfort's Marian consecration, which, you know, great people like St. John Paul II said that that book really, I mean, in a certain sense, changed his life and his spirituality and his all prayer. And so I thought, man, if we had something like that, but, you know, bring in Joseph, not as a competition to Our Lady, of course, but a complementarity, that would be really good. So I basically made it a 33-day program where we get to know and love St. Joseph. And yeah, it's flying off the charts, my friend.
Oh, I can imagine. And St. Joseph also has the title Terror of Demons, correct? Mm-hmm. So I think that is very relevant in our day and age and everything going on right now. My goodness. So what I would love to get into is this consecration to Saint Joseph. And for people that don't even know what that is, can you please explain that?
Yeah, it is important to know that. So the word consecration, basically, you know, we are consecrated to Jesus Christ primarily. That's our ultimate end, is Jesus. And so by our baptism, you know, we are partakers in his mission. We become his brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of the Father. And to get close to him, super close to him, you know, we consecrate things like an altar, the chalice that we use at Mass, because they're bringing us closer to Jesus. Well, you know, who's closer to Jesus than his mother and his earthly father, Saint Joseph, Our Lady and Saint Joseph? So if we want to get super close to Jesus, let's consecrate ourselves to them, because they're going to share with us secrets and wonders of the hidden life, you know, the Holy Family. And I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. And I think that aspect of it has really captured people, because they thought, you know, there's something to that, because we really, you know, some of us trying to figure it out on our own, but why don't we just ask Mary and Joseph to help us, you know? So
go back to basics here, right?
Yeah,
just
right.
Go back to the basics,
yep.
ABCs. And is that what your book does? It'll bring people back to the basics. As we went through it, what I noticed is you didn't miss a beat. You are so detailed about every and anything, it seemed like, that you could find in the church on St. Joseph. And it is here in this book. And by the end of your consecration, you are going to know St. Joseph in and out of everything that there is. Am I correct in that? That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, that's pretty much the goal. And the joy that I have as the author of it is seeing that happen in people like you described, because it happened to me, Kristalina, because I didn't know this stuff. I only discovered, I would say, 3/4 of the content of the book when I did the research myself. So when I discovered things like, oh, wait a minute, the wedding ring that Joseph gave Mary still exists. I'm like, who knew? You know, and I'm like, the family's home in Nazareth, it was transported by angels to Italy in the 13th century. I'm like, holy moly, this is amazing, you know? He built a staircase in New Mexico in a sister's convent that's still there to this day, and you can go see it. I'm like, man, once the world finds out about this stuff, they're going to be like, I want some Joseph in my life. So it's happening for sure.
He's so powerful. And I love that you brought up that staircase that was built. It is unbelievable. If you don't know about St. Joseph's staircase, I believe that's what it's called. I'm not sure. You can look it up. And it's phenomenal. And just the structure and how he built it. And you can see pictures of it online. And it's pretty out of this world, it seems like, right?
It is, but, yeah. No nails built. No center column. Like, architects and engineers are like, how's this thing even standing up, you know?
Yes. And there were people that went out there and actually did studies on it, and architects, because they could not figure this out. And St. Joseph, he's so powerful. And in my own life, in my own conversion, he has been this powerful saint that I've been able to go to throughout the years. And he's answered all of my prayers. There has not been one prayer, and we're talking some big deal, life-changing stuff here, okay? That I've gone to him, but I've gone to him with the book, which I'm sure you're familiar with. You probably use it as a resource, of the glories of St. Joseph. That's the book. It's that 30-day novena, right?
Yeah, good stuff.
And every time I did that novena, wow, did he answer my prayers and then some. But then this book came out and it was a full-blown consecration, not just the novena. So can you let people know what the difference is between like that 30-day novena and then the consecration? So you explain the consecration, now the novena, what the difference is.
Yeah, so in the novena, which you're right, that's a powerful prayer. Wow, is it powerful? And I've done that myself many times. It's a one, you know, where you're basically asking his intercession, and you enter deep into prayer. And it's not a short thing, you know, it takes a commitment, but you're really just imploring his intercession for a particular cause that you have in your heart. Powerful stuff. But in the consecration, what we're doing is we're getting to actually know St. Joseph, because I found that many people, when you bring up St. Joseph, they just say, well, yeah, I mean, he's just some old dude that God used and really not that significant. And, you know, maybe was even previously married, was a widow with other children. And, you know, yeah, not that important. Well, no, that's not true at all. He's extremely important. He wasn't an old dude, and he wasn't previously married. He wasn't a widow with other children. And I go through all that in the book, you know, going back to the fathers of the church and great doctors of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Jerome and so many others, and what popes have said, what shrines are dedicated to him, what apparitions he's appeared in. People are usually shocked when they're like, wait, apparitions? I thought that was just Mary. And I'm like, no, there's Joseph as well in some of these approved, you know, nothing weird, approved ones. And so you get to know them. And that way, you know, you fall so much more in love with them. Yeah.
Now, with the consecration, there are specific days that you can start this consecration you have in the very beginning of the book. Is that's just a recommendation, or are those the days that you should start and that you have to start?
Yeah, they're just recommendations, you know, so that people don't have to chart it out themselves. I've got it there, the start date, the end date, as a recommendation. And there's others. Like, for example, I heard this one recently, and I think this is wonderful. So I've heard couples are doing it so that it ends on their anniversary. Oh. Isn't that so cool to give your marriage to Joseph? I think that's phenomenal.
Oh, I love it. And even though we've done it, I'm like, Jason, it's this time, this is what's going on. We got to do, you know?
He's going to be Did you talk to Father Calloway again?
Right? Because when we got engaged, we did the 33-day St. Mm-hmm. Louis de Montfort one you talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And we did this with the family, but that's really beautiful as the specific intention for the marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget and don't realize the help that we have in the saints and the help that we have in Jesus and all the sacraments that are in the church right now, because I truly do believe everybody is going through their own hardship right now and their own battle that they're being faced with in the privacy of their own home, in their own, in their spirituality, in that relationship with Jesus. Everyone is being, it seems, tested, or they're going through something. And it can be hard, and it's easy to get discouraged. But at the same time, well, this is where our faith really lives out, is not in that easy moment of all those wonderful, good feelings you have, right? It's in the nitty gritty of the challenges that we face in our lives. And it can be difficult, but those are the times when, man, it's got to just kick in. We call on Saint Joseph. We call on the Blessed Mother. We go see Jesus in adoration, right? Mm-hmm. And we go to the sacrament. So how have you found the different testimonies in people's lives, how this has really touched them?
Yeah, there's so many. I might have to do like a volume two of just the testimonies, you know?
You know, that would be amazing.
It would. It totally would. Yeah, I'll give you a concrete example. So just like now, I just learned that this big social media person, and he's well known in certain circles, and I mean very well known, Milo Yiannopoulos, I think is how you pronounce his
last name.
Yiannopoulos, yes. Yeah. So, you know, he has not been shy saying that, you know, he believes the teachings of the church, and yet he has not been living them. And he's been living a very immoral lifestyle in the gay lifestyle. And he's been very public about that. Well, check this out. So he's now on social media doing the consecration to Saint Joseph and leading, I mean, literally thousands and tens of thousands of people his sites doing this. And he's saying that he now is coming out of that lifestyle and he's going to start living the authentic teaching of the church. He knows it. He's just been stuck in sin. So I'm like, oh, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you, brother. Because as you said, we're all weak. We're all broke. We're all wounded. We got baggage and issues, all of us. Mm-hmm. But this is amazing because in the book, I talk about how Venerable Mary of Agreda, this great mystic from the 16th century, she talks about certain privileges of devotion to St. Joseph. And the first one, she says, is that those who are devoted to St. Joseph will be able to obtain purity of heart. Oh, man, that is fantastic, because we're living in this filthy, perverse, pornographic era. And boy, do we need some clean hearts. Boy, do we need some pure hearts. And I'm so excited, Crystalina, because I'm hearing from so many men, especially women as well, but men especially, saying, you know, to me as a priest, they're saying, Father, I have struggled with this particular sin for decades. I have tried so many things. And they said, this consecration, I am experiencing a new freedom in the area of purity. And I'm like, praise the Lord, brother.
Wow. Wow. That's major. That is so major. And it really just shows how St. Joseph can touch the hearts and lives of anyone. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, that God's grace is not far away, and that he's calling all of us, right? No matter what lifestyle we're in, that we can turn things around. It doesn't matter. But I think people also forget that purity is a virtue, and it has to be asked for. It has to be prayed for, because God's just not going to put anything on us if we don't ask for it and we're not open to it and we want it, right?
That's right. Yep. You're absolutely right. Yep. And he's a good father. So he wants to help us grow. He just needs our cooperation, you know?
Right. In all things, he needs our cooperation. He will not force anything. Yeah. Again, for those of you that are just tuning in, I am talking with Father Calloway, and we are discussing the consecration to Saint Joseph and discussing the wonders of our spiritual father. Now, he has a lot of different titles. Can you go through them? Because some people know him one way and others know him a different way.
Yeah, so you're right. And that litany of Saint Joseph, it kind of forms the template for the book. So every day you go through one of those and we unpack it a little bit. And then we go real deep. We give examples of that. So, for example, some of my favorite titles are, he's called the Pillar of Families. And for me, that's so crucial because a pillar is a foundation. It holds things up. And if that falls down, well, everything crumbles. So he's a pillar of the families. And I think, boy, if more men look to him today, they're going to be a pillar for their family. They're going to shore things up, you know, when things are being attacked. Another one is he's called the Glory of Domestic Life. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, growing up, I never heard too many people refer to the man of the house as the glory of home life. Right? So imagine, though, if I love saying, I've been saying this in homilies lately. Imagine if kids are in school one day and the teacher says, all right, kids, next week it's show and tell. Bring in a picture of your dad and explain him to the class. And little Johnny brings in a picture of his dad and he says, my dad's the glory of domestic life. Right? That'd be amazing, right? What? That'd be incredible. And then he's called the guardian of virgins. You know, not just the virgin, Our Lady, but of virgins. And how crucial is that in this era in which we live, where, you know, we do live in such a pornographic age that we need men to step up and to start being protectors of the feminine mystery and defenders of their virtue and of their dignity and treating them with respect. If we get this in men, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be terrors of demons. And that's my personal favorite title of Saint Joseph, because that's like the money title. That's like bringing the big guns, game over, evil one. You know, we're talking, you're smoked, man. When you bring in a guy whose name is the terror of demons, the devil's going to be jumping out the window. I mean, powerful stuff. And I actually even commissioned artwork on that title. Because, you know, sometimes you see St. Joseph in art and he looks like he's about half dead. And, you know, the lily looks like a cane because he can't stand up. And I'm like, that's not what we need. We need him strong, loving, yes, but strong. And that lily should be like a spiritual dagger stabbing the serpent through his throat, you know. So that's how I've got him depicted in the artwork on Terror of Demons.
Now, for those of you that do not have the book, talk about the art, because there is some really unique artwork that you had commissioned specifically for this, right?
Yeah, I did. So I wanted to show especially like Mary and Joseph as husband and wife in such a loving way that showed their complementarity. So one of the images I had commissioned, I called the Immaculata and the Terror of Demons. So you've got Our Lady classically looking so beautiful and her dainty little foot is crushing Satan's face, right? But you've got Saint Joseph standing below her, lovingly gazing upon his bride with an axe in his hand, because the serpent she's just stepped on, he's just sliced off its tail with an axe. That to me is the dynamic duo. That is husband and wife. When they, as Saint Andre Bessette says, when Mary and Joseph pray together, it is power. So yeah, I love it.
Wow. That was, that was amazing. And I'm looking at, as you're describing it, it's beautiful. And I love, and you've already mentioned this, but it is so true that every time I have seen Saint Joseph depicted in artwork, he is just looks like a grandfather.
Exactly.
Right. And he, in all of your artwork, he is this strapping, young, strong man. And and that is so good, because people really should see him as that. And I know Saint Jose Maria Escriva, the quote you have in there from him is, I see him, Saint Joseph, as a strong young man, perhaps a few years older than Our Lady, but in the prime of his life and work. And people don't see him that way. But truly, that is how he was, right?
Absolutely. He had to be, you know, because he was modeling manhood for Jesus as he was growing up. And so, you know, to do that, I mean, this is an amazing thing, Kristalina, is, you know, I tell people that when when God wanted to share the facial characteristics of a creature, he chose Our Lady. So Jesus looks like his mother in maybe their cheekbones, eye sockets, their chin or something, right? Just like we all look like our mom because we're biologically linked. Well, Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus. But here's the thing. When God wants to imitate a man, he chose to imitate Joseph. When God wants to be like a man, he chose to be like Joseph. And so I guarantee you that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has the mannerisms, the accent. He walks like, he swings an axe like Saint Joseph. That's extraordinary stuff.
See, and you make him so human that way. I know he is human, but we see him as a saint. Mm. We see him up in the sky and just kind of untouchable, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we see a lot of the saints and heaven and God the Father, just almost untouchable. But we forget they walked on this earth, right? They were here at some point. And we can become saints regardless of the fight, regardless of the warfare. But God will give us everything that we need. And obviously he gave St. Joseph everything he needs. But St. Joseph can equip us in different ways that maybe other saints can't that we go to.
No, big time. And many saints have said that. They said, you know, we go to St. Anthony for this cause, you know, and if we have cancer or know somebody has cancer, we go to St. Peregrine. But they say that St. Joseph covers all our needs because he's our spiritual father. And one cool thing, I didn't know this until I did my research, is that the name Joseph, it means increase. And so I started calling Joseph the increaser. Because that's what a good father does, right? He increases his wife. He wants his wife to be known. He wants his wife to be loved and crowned with roses. He wants his children to be loved. And St. Joseph wants Jesus to be adored and worshiped. And so if we get close to the increaser, we're going to be super close to Jesus and Mary.
Wow. Thank you so much for writing this book, first of all, because it really has impacted and affected our lives and my family.
Awesome.
And I know those of you listening out there think about doing this, especially during this time. And there is a lot of confusion, but I guarantee Saint Joseph can help you through anything coming your way, right? He's there and I know he wants to help.
He does. He super does. And one neat thing too is we've linked up with EWTN. There's a whole bunch of videos they've been playing and everything. They're super excited about it. And the lady there that runs the catalog, the EWTNRC.com catalog, she's telling me, Father, we can hardly keep these things in stock. So
I can imagine. I can imagine. This is phenomenal. Well, we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Father Calloway. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and we are here with Father Calloway discussing his book, The Consecration to Saint Joseph. Now, can you please get into maybe some trials and tribulations that Saint Joseph experienced in his life?
Yeah. He didn't have an easy life. I mean,
no, he did not.
You think about it. I mean, he was right from the get-go. You know, he finds out that his wife is pregnant and, you know, that has to be like, wait, huh? What's going on here? You know, and yet his response was so loving, you know, and just he really sensed an unworthiness in himself encountering this great mystery of like, I can't do this. Who am I, you know, to be the one here? And, you know, he was a man who was knowledgeable of the scriptures. He was a very devout Jew, so he would have known the prophecy of Isaiah that said a virgin shall be with child. And all of a sudden he's encountering this, you know, right in his presence. And so, you know, just that, all of that that went on, I mean, he, you know, in what was going on in his heart, he had to make a decision. And he took it to prayer and, you know, God sent his angel and told him, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But then, you know, didn't take very long until, you know, they had to flee to Egypt from a madman who wanted to kill, you know, babies. And yet he did it faithfully. And, you know, where was he going to find work? How was he going to put a roof over the head of his wife and of his son? I mean, these are concerns that a man, you know, being a man myself, I, even though I'm not married, I mean, I have things that I have to worry about for the people entrusted to my care. How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to fix the parking lot? How am I going to do this particular situation? So mm-hmm. when a man can't do those things, he can feel defeated or deflated, and he feels like a failure. And here we have St. Joseph, you know, not only not being able to provide a place, a nice place for his wife to give birth, he wasn't able to do that. He had to then flee to Egypt and you know, and go through a very difficult time. And then, you know, if you think about it, you know, all throughout his life, you know, he's got to be thinking, you know, I'm not going to be there when my wife's heart is pierced. And my son is this cause of contradiction that Simeon talked about in the temple. I mean, all that was on his heart throughout his whole life. And so we're talking about a man who is called the model of the interior life because his martyrdom, in a certain sense, a white martyrdom, not a blood martyrdom, was of such magnitude because he suffered these things in his heart for his wife and for his son. What a man. What a man.
And for those wives out there listening, Saint Joseph is such a powerful saint to go to for your husband. If you're struggling or you're having a hard time in your marriage, or maybe he's not even Catholic, I don't know, whatever it is you're going through in your own home, I would really suggest getting a devotion to Saint Joseph, even for your children, that he can be that maybe father, spiritual father to them, especially in this day and age. And I grew up without a father. And so for those of you out there that maybe have stepfathers in your lives, to pray to Saint Joseph for them and maybe even call Saint Joseph to be maybe that father to those people that don't have that father figure in their lives, because that definitely helped me as well. Can you also tell me the symbolism of the lily?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, your words, that was beautiful, Kristalina, because you're right. I mean, there are a lot of wounds today from fathers, either as absence or, you know, God forbid something worse, like some form of abuse. And yeah, we need such a loving father. So yeah, your words are just wonderful there. And yeah, and that lily, traditionally, it's represented his purity. And so that is, to me, powerful because, you know, that is something that all of us need. And regardless of our vocation in life, you know, we have to have and be living with a chaste heart. Because I do encounter, you know, men sometimes, especially when I'm at men's conferences and they say, oh, Father, that talk was great you gave, but I'm married. I can do whatever I want with my wife. And I'm like, no, you can't, brother. I'm like, you have to treat her with dignity and respect. You know, you also have to practice the virtue of chastity, which is not celibacy. That's where a lot of people get it confused. In your particular vocation, you got to treat her with respect. And that's where I point to that lily and I say, you know, let's be like Saint Joseph in our eyes, in our gaze, in our words. Let's use beautiful words. I can guarantee you that Saint Joseph, and what a privilege it was, he was the first one to call Mary his lady, my lady. I mean, how he loved her, how he worked for her, how he consoled her, how he did everything he could to make her happy in their marriage and in their home. And that lily staff was a big part of it because he had a chaste heart.
So many things that happen to us has to do with purity, right? And like you said, the things that we're tempted to watch on Netflix or things that we're listening to or things that we're looking up online, it's so easy to just say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, right? When deep down, we know it is and we're just justifying our nonsense and our actions. But to just pray and call upon Saint Joseph, especially the men in those times of temptation or in those times of their speech, to just say, Saint Joseph, please help me. And that grace will be there. But it's just keeping him in the forefront of our mind. And maybe during this year to just dedicate yourself and your families to Saint Joseph, because there's a reason for everything that God the Father does in the church, right? And there's a reason right now. It's the time for Saint Joseph.
Yeah. And no, it truly is. And, you know, I think about saints of old, like St. Teresa of Avila, who loved St. Joseph so much, or St. Jose Maria Escrivá, like you mentioned, and so many others. You know, they, Wednesdays, for example, have been traditionally devoted to St. Joseph. And a lot of people have not known that. But now it's coming back to the forefront because, you know, Sunday is the day of our Lord. Saturday is the day of Our Lady. And in the middle is St. Joseph on Wednesdays. So the culture kind of took it over and they began to call it Hump Day, you know, the day in the middle.
Yes. Well,
but it's actually St. Joseph's Day. It belongs to him. So we're going to reclaim it. We're going to start those devotions again. Priests can have votive masses to St. Joseph on Wednesdays. We need to get some beautiful chasubles for priests and parishes with St. Joseph on it. We need to get beautiful statues in churches with St. Joseph, young, strong, you know. These are all ways that I guarantee you that the saints would be seeking to fully live out.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you can do this consecration on your own as a family, or you also have the means to do it as a group. Please tell me about that.
Yeah. So the book is written so that an individual can do it by themselves. And you can do it anywhere, really. You can wake up with your morning cup of coffee, or, you know, if you're able to get to church and spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, you can do it waiting in a dentist's office. You know, that's fine. And then in the back of the book, I have the group format. So that has, like if you're doing it as a parish or a prayer group, how many times you would meet. It has the discussion questions. It has what the leader would do and the discussion questions. And people that have been doing that, you know, it's amazing. They've been telling me, Father, this is great. I mean, I've met people on Zoom I never knew, and we've been doing the consecration, and now we're going to get together and go out and, you know, have lunch. And so, yeah, you can be creative with it.
Now, how many different groups do you know of? Are they doing this? Is this like, are they doing this all over the world that you've seen them doing in different countries? Is this in different languages, or is this just right now here in the United States?
Oh, this thing has gone global. The book is now in 15 languages, including, and check this out, I've never had any of my books translated into Arabic. It's in Arabic. Wow. Yeah. It's in Maltese. It's in so many different, it's even in one I can't even pronounce in India. It's called like Malayaman or something. I'm like, wow, you know, it just a bunch of circles, it looks like to me, but I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And right now there are literally tens of thousands of people in the United States, and I would say worldwide, hundreds of thousands of people who are doing it, for March 19th. But yes. Then there's another group that's going to be firing up because the next dates, start on March 30th. And that one ends on May 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. So, yeah, it is huge, Kristalina, huge.
The book is unbelievable, and everything that you learn about St. Joseph, but just the power of St. Joseph, right, in your life and helping you kind of overcome those strongholds that you may have that you've really struggled with for a very long time sometimes. He'll help you and give you the antidote, whatever that may be, on a spiritual level, right? And people don't realize that sometimes.
He does. And, you know, there's certain things, like in the book, I talk about him. You know, he's really the father of Marian devotion. He's the first knight of Our Lady. He's got that chivalry. He's just so good. And you know what amazes me is when people discover the love of St. Joseph, because they've never really thought about it. They just run to him, you know, St. Joseph, help me sell my house or something, you know, and okay, nothing wrong with that. But let me caution, don't bury the statue. You know, I talk about that in the book too. It's some weird practice that's crept in, you know. My mom was a real estate agent, and she sold every place she ever put on the market and never buried a statue of St. Joseph. So
why do people do that?
Yeah, somehow people claim that St. Teresa of Avila and St. Andre Bessette would bury stuff of St. Joseph. And I did the research. And I'm like, no, they didn't actually. What they did was they would take medals of St. Joseph and they would place it above ground around a property to kind of claim it for St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. But then this practice crept in of, well, let's bury a statue of him as a way of almost like spiritual bribery. And what they would do is turn it upside down and say, we're not turning you right side up until you sell our house. You know what I mean? What kind of nonsense superstition is that? So, yeah, we've got to stop that. You know?
I'm glad you clarified that, because even my grandmother, I remember her saying that, and I wasn't too sure about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where it came from. And a lot of people don't know where it comes from. Right. And they just assume that's what you're supposed to do if you're Catholic.
Right.
Honestly. So I'm glad you clarified that for all of us out there.
Yeah. And they're well-intentioned. Most of them are well-intentioned. Yes. So I don't chastise them or anything. I just tell them, well, you know, would you bury a picture of your mom or dad in the ground? Probably not. So, you know.
And put them upside down.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, we would not. Yeah. I've also heard, especially with the different saints that I've studied, about a happy death, praying to St. Joseph for a happy death. Where does that come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, tradition says, died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. So, I mean, you're not going to get a better death than that, you know? So, I mean, and that's why when we do see him in a lot of art, you know, it's depicting his death. And there he is, you know, with generally Mary is there, you know, maybe holding his hand, and our Lord is there standing at his side. And many saints have talked about that, as you said. And we need to pray for that, too, because none of us are here forever. And, you know, we don't want to go through some torturous, agonizing death. Let's ask him to help us die a death like he did, at peace, in the state of grace, and embraced by Jesus and Mary. That's certainly what I want.
And he's also known for his profound humility. Can you get into that for me?
Yeah. I mean, he's the best supporting actor in Christianity. He doesn't even have one word. I mean, he doesn't say one thing in the New Testament. And yet, without him, nothing would have got done. I mean, Jesus and Mary relied upon him, his fatherhood and his being a husband. And that's extraordinary because, you know, today everybody wants a trophy, you know, for everything that they do. They want recognition and a merit badge for it. Well, St. Joseph, he didn't get any of that. And he hasn't had any of that for a long time. I mean, the Holy Trinity gives it to him. He's in heaven. But here, we're only now coming to fully recognize the magnitude of who this man was and who he is. And so that's extraordinary because, I mean, he fathered God in the sense of God called him dad. I mean, wow. I mean, and God obeyed him. God doesn't obey men. God doesn't obey angels, but he did obey Joseph. And maybe you can affirm this, Kristalina, because I've been told this now, and this is something not in my book that I learned, and I think it's fascinating. I've been told by cultures around the world that babies, pretty much as a norm, when they say their first word, it's not mama, it's dada, or Abba, or Papa, or some variation of father in that particular culture or language. If that is true, the first words that God said in the divine child were most likely Dada or Abba, directed to Joseph. And Mary wasn't jealous. She wasn't saying, oh, it should have been me, you know. She would have delighted in that, as any mother would. So, wow.
No, you're right in that. I mean, I have 8 children, and my 2 babies in heaven, but our 8 here, all 6 of them, it was all dada. And then I did have 2 that did say mama, which was huge.
Nice.
Because it never happened. I was like, oh,
that's
you just
awesome.
Did that. But no, you're right. It is typically dada. So I'll give that to you, Father, for sure. Why is it he didn't say a single word? I remember Jason and I had that conversation. Mm. Why?
Yeah.
Did we not hear from him?
Well, I think probably because, you know, he's only in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew and Luke didn't know him, right? When he was deceased already and the Gospels were being written after the ascension of our Lord, well, Matthew and Luke, they had no idea about Joseph. They never met him, but they did know Mary. And so, you know, they didn't have any words to record from Joseph. But here's the fascinating thing in my mind. How did Joseph get in the New Testament to begin with? Well, I think it was his wife. I think it was Mary who was saying, hey, Matthew, let me tell you about the time we lost him in the temple. Oh, we were so anxious. 3 days we searched for him, Matthew. Matthew, put that in. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in all likelihood, it's probably he got in the New Testament in the first place because of his wife, because of Our Lady.
Wow. People, I don't think we really think of that.
Yeah.
We don't go into kind of the detail of those things,
right? Right.
Or even think of them, to be honest. But no, you're absolutely right. And it's good to know just those little tidbits about St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So how can someone right now who really doesn't know St. Joseph and that really hasn't been a part of their spirituality, what are just some tangible things that they can do today to start kind of fostering maybe that spiritual relationship with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would say, you know, if anybody's maybe hesitant, because I know people can be and they think, well, you know, I don't want to detract from Jesus or Our Lady. Okay, but you know what? Ask our Lord during this year of St. Joseph declared by the church, Lord, do you want me to get to know him more? And if you do, I'm open to that. And let me start talking to him. Let me start saying some prayers to St. Joseph and inviting him in so that I can get closer to you, Jesus. And I can pretty much guarantee you that if a heart is open to that, and it just starts with simple little words, you don't have to be poetic or write something lengthy or say something long, something simple. That is going to do wonders, I think. I think that St. Joseph is going to come in and he's going to reveal to you how much he loves you, because he does. He really loves you and he's your spiritual father. And he's just waiting for that relationship. And I am delighted as a priest and as the author of the book when people tell me that all of a sudden they get it. They get it. They're like, oh, why haven't I paid attention to him? Now I know who he is. I know he loves me. I love him. And my every day I'm thinking about him and I'm talking to him. Oh, it makes me so happy.
So I would love to know, Father Calloway, what is your favorite story of St. Joseph?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you know so many, but it's just what is one that has just stood out to you that you just, it's your go-to?
Yeah, there's quite a few for sure. Part of me, you know, it does go back to that, what is called the Santo Anello, the Holy Ring, because that to me is just mind-blowing. I mean, to know that that ring that he gave Our Lady still exists, and it's housed in a huge reliquary in the cathedral in Perugia, Italy, which is only like 30 minutes from Assisi. And I haven't seen it. I've been to Assisi so many times, but until I did my research, I didn't know it was there. So that is fascinating. And one thing that's neat, and I have to say, maybe I'm a little jealous in this aspect because I wouldn't be privileged to be able to do this. But for couples who are engaged or married couples, when they expose the ring for public veneration, engaged couples or married couples can take their ring and touch it to the holy ring. Aww. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, yes. Wow, that's awesome.
See, and we went to Assisi, so you're just like, really, really, that's going on?
I know.
Yep. And what is your favorite prayer to St. Joseph?
Yeah, I would have to say the Litany of St. Joseph is my favorite. It's just such a beautiful one because, you know, in church years, it was only approved recently in 1909. I know it's over 100 years ago, but compared to 2,000 years, it's not that long ago.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful prayer, really. It's the kind of parallel to Our Lady's Litany, the Litany of Loretto. And I'd love for people to learn it and to pray it.
And, you know, it's one of the shorter litanies.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a lot of the litanies, it is one of the shorter ones. So don't be hesitant to say it because it's like, oh, it's a litany. But it really isn't that long or rigorous, or it can be hard, especially if you have little ones that you're praying with, that it really is an easy one to get through, but so powerful, right?
It is.
Absolutely powerful. And the paintings that you had commissioned, which are beautiful, people can also purchase those, can't they?
Yep, they can. So we'd set up a website where you can find out about everything with the book. You can get the book, the ebook, audiobook. It's in Spanish. And, the website is consecrationtosaintjoseph.org. And the saint part is just ST, so you don't spell that out. So consecrationtosaintjoseph.org.
Wonderful. And how can they get in touch with you? Mm-hmm. And they want to learn more about you.
Yeah. So I have a website that it goes over like the pilgrimages that I lead. I'm the vocation director for my religious community. So I'm always interested in talking to men if they're discerning a vocation of the priesthood. The website is fathercalloway.com. And for that one, you do have to spell out the father part. So fathercalloway.com.
Wonderful. And now can you leave us, we're almost out of time, with just some advice. Maybe some people have fallen away or it's just getting tough and hard. What can you say to those that maybe are struggling a little bit with the things that they were striving to do, but are having a hard time?
Sure. Yeah, no, we're all human. You know, we all start out strong out of the gate, you know, and then mm-hmm. we start tripping over ourselves and make a mess of things. The Lord is good. He's kind. He's compassionate. And so is St. Joseph, who, you know, reflects. He's often called the shadow of the Father, the Heavenly Father. And so, yes, let's just get back up. Let's, you know, try and make time every day for prayer. If we're able to make some sacrifices by way of fasting, you know, what a good father wants of us is just to keep trying. And so that's what our Heavenly Father wants. And that's what St. Joseph wants, too.
Absolutely. And can you also discuss quickly about the importance of confession during this time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's huge, because we've got to turn away from sin and we've got to, you know, realize the effects that it has on us. And so I know people sometimes can be, you know, kind of scared, or they think, oh, no, it's been so long. Oh, no, look, again, God is a good, good father. And he's there, and he's not going to be judging us or condemning us. He's all with open arms. He wants to embrace us. So let's have that humility of St. Joseph and go to our loving God and get all that stuff, get the poison out, so we can experience the freedom of conversion and grace. It's only going to do wonders in our life. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Father Calloway, thank you so much for your time, for this beautiful book, and everything that you do for the church. Thank you for being here at Women Made New. It really has been such a blessing and an honor.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you too, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye. To thank my guest again, Father Calloway, for being here, and also thank him for writing this book. And this consecration is incredibly powerful. So if you can get your hands on his new book and do this consecration with your family or even by yourself, it is incredibly powerful. And just to really tap into those graces that we all can receive. Definitely encourage you to go do that. I was looking up different quotes that Mother Angelica had said on Saint Joseph, and I found one that is so simple, but it just rang true, right? In my life, and I'm sure in yours. And she said, "You could say, well, I don't know what my mission is." No one wrote Saint Joseph a detailed description of his mission either. He knew only one thing at a time. He knew he had to take care of Mary and Jesus, and that's all he knew, Mother Angelica. And that is so true in all of our lives. Jesus will always ask us to do that one thing, just that one thing. And let that one thing happen today. Whatever it is, whatever's going on, go conquer that. Go get that off your chest if it's just been there and you've just been ignoring it. You haven't wanted to deal with it. I really encourage you. Today is a new day. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. And it doesn't matter what happened the day before, a year before. Today is what matters and how you live today. So maybe it's to go to confession. A lot of churches are open for confession this afternoon. Maybe you haven't been in a really long time. Or maybe it's only been 3 weeks and you know you need to go. Go. The church is open. Jesus is inviting you to go to confession and to deal with maybe that one thing that has just been bothering you or that you just think you can't. But I'm telling you, God will give you the grace that you can. So let today be a new day and start over. And I'm going to leave you with one more quote from Mother Angelica. I love how just feisty she could be sometimes and so straightforward. And she says, "Holiness is not for wimps, and the cross is not negotiable, sweetheart. It's a requirement." Mother Angelica. So with that, I hope you have a wonderful Saturday. Know I will keep you in my prayers. And if you could please keep me and my family in your prayers as well. I just know how powerful your prayers are. So if you could keep us in your prayers and all things Catholic, go to EWTN.com. And if you'd like to learn more about my ministry, you can go to womenmadenew.com. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, everyone. God bless.
Pray for the protection of unborn children with a free pro-life prayer ebook to help guide you in prayer. To change the hearts of those who compromise the call to protect and defend life. Get your free ebook today at ewtn.com/profile.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.